We Saved You a Seat is sponsored by the Oklahoma Family Network. Oklahoma Family Network focuses on supporting families of children and youth with special health care needs and disabilities, as well as families who have children with a mental health or behavioral health diagnosis. Oklahoma Family Network provides families with emotional support, resource navigation, parent-to-parent engagement opportunities, and wants to ensure quality health care for all children and families by building strong and effective family professional partnerships. Hi, and welcome to We Saved You a Seat podcast. I'm Tamara Crabtree with Oklahoma Family Network, and I'm excited to share with you this two-part podcast release celebrating everyone's friend, five-year-old Carter. Today, his mom, Charity, and sister, Cassie, describe to us Carter and tells us about who Carter is. Today, we get to learn about how they learned Carter would have Down syndrome and what it's like in their day-to-day activity with Carter. Thanks again for joining us today as we celebrate and get to know Mr. Carter a little through the eyes of his mom and sister.
So my name is Charity Cook. Our family is from Cashin, Oklahoma, and we are a blended family. My husband joined the military. He's from Cashin. I met him through the military. Together, we have five kids, and our two oldest girls, Rebecca and Cassie, are both in college, and Cassie will be joining us here on this call. And then we have two boys who are seniors this year, and then we have our youngest, Carter, who is five. He'll be six this year. And he is our miracle baby with Down syndrome. And he came as a surprise, but is the miracle we never knew we needed. My husband retires this year, 25 years active duty. So he'll, at the end of this year, he'll retire. After we found out about Carter's diagnosis is when I decided not to re-enlist, so that way I can be home with him. After doing a lot of research about finding about his diagnosis, decided that it'd be best if I was here with him. Lots of things we learned. It was scary at first finding about his diagnosis, but, you know, like I said, he's our blessing we never knew we needed. And that's a little bit about our family.
I love hearing you say he was that gift and that blessing that you didn't even know you needed. Would you walk us through how you received his diagnosis and that you knew and learned that he was going to have Down syndrome?
So back in 2017, my husband, Robert, he just came home from a year-long deployment. A couple months later, we found out that we were expecting, and I was about 4 weeks along, and our family of six, we found out would become a family of seven. And on March 27th, we got a call from our doctor's office asking us to go in. We had taken a test called a Harmony test, which is a blood work test. And it tests for a lot of different types of things, including Down syndrome or trisomy 21. And we were expecting to just come in and get the envelope for our gender results that day folded up, and we're excited about having the gender reveal party that weekend. So that was really what was on our mind. We weren't expecting anything else. Waiting in the lobby, the nurse, and we absolutely loved our OB doc and the nurse. She was brand new. It's her first, she was just a new grad. She called us back to the patient room, and I had noticed her eyes were a little puffy, and I was like, oh, maybe she's just having a rough day. And she greeted us, and our doctor came in, and he explained so gently, and he was so upfront about the Harmony test results, blood test that I had just taken a few weeks back. And I always remember that day, March 27th, that was the day that we learned that he would have Down syndrome. I cried, and I cried thinking about it. I cried. I was scared. I was like, what? How can we have a baby that's different? And I think back on it, I was in shock. And it's kind of when the doc told us, he goes, well, this is the part I hate asking, but are you wanting to have to terminate your pregnancy? And I couldn't say anything. I was just quiet. I stared at him. And my husband loudly was like, heck no, we don't believe in that. Because I couldn't speak up. And I guess I was just in shock. And Kelsey, our nurse, she came in, she gave us a hug, and after, he was like, "Do you mind if she comes in? This is her first positive trisomy. Do you mind if she comes in the room with us?" Now that we've gone through that discussion, I go, "Absolutely, bring her on in," because I just fell in love with her. She came in, she started crying, I started crying, we hugged, and we didn't cry because, I was in shock, but we knew that no matter what, he was going to be loved, no matter what diagnosis he had. So that's really where the start of it happened, was with that. We were referred over to a neonatal specialist, and where we found out about a bit more things that were things that he would have, not issues, but just health conditions that kind of come along with trisomy 21. He did have a hole in his heart. We found out pretty early on that he had what's called a double bubble in his intestine. So he did have surgery at 3 days old to connect the disconnect in his intestine. We did a lot of research and we became really close with our medical team. You kind of be when you go through that, you really, when you have a great medical team like that, you become family with them. And we were just eventually moved away from shock, and we were in a state of excitement after doing quite a bit of research. And our doctor's office, they had recommended us to connect with a program called Down Syndrome Association of Central Oklahoma, so DASCO. So we have been very involved with DASCO since then. I was able to meet before Carter was born. I went into the DASCO office and met with Sarah Sowell, who's the director with DASCO. I remember sitting in her office crying that I'm having a baby with Down syndrome. But just being in that environment, she was just so welcoming and so excited. We got a lot of, "Oh, I'm sorries," but to have other people who have been through that just be so excited for us and welcoming us into that community really was amazing. And we really knew we were blessed at that time when, after doing a lot of bit more research, that he was going to be our miracle blessing that we never knew we needed.
That is, I think that's so powerful because I think you're right. There's a grief process because you're grieving what you anticipated. But there are so many additional blessings that can come from a situation that
Yes. And looking back, I have feelings of guilt at times of, man, how could I have felt that way, being scared? And I feel bad about it and not knowing what to expect. But really, he opened up the doors for not only just the special needs community, the Down syndrome community, but also within the school. You really have your eyes opened up to those with special needs as well, including our kids. And that's been the best part, is our kids have been really opened up to that community. And Cassie's on here, and she has a real soft spot for those with disabilities. And I really feel that Carter, experiencing all of that with Carter, really has opened up her view on special needs.
I love that. And so Cassie, just let's just chit chat for a second. And what do you remember about kind of talking through how you learned about Carter's diagnosis and what were your initial thoughts?
I can't remember the exact day, but I do remember her sitting all of us siblings down, and she was explaining to us kind of the diagnosis and everything. And I remember all of us kind of just were like, "What is that?" Like, we didn't understand or know what that was, because we've never really, I don't think any of us four had ever had to be around or even like knew anyone that had Down syndrome, other than maybe from afar, or from the community that we lived in. But none of us really knew what it was, and she was really explaining it to us. And we were, I remember most of us, especially me and my brother Trevor, were really just asking, like, "Is he going to be okay? Are we going to get a little brother?" Like, that was our main concern, was he going to be okay? But we all knew that we were going to love him no matter what.
Your concern was, are we going to get to keep him? Are we going to, is he going to be okay? Are we going to get to keep him? So that I think from a mom's heart, it's like it doesn't matter. He is our kid. He is our sibling. And so I love that you were able to kind of express that. Did Charity and your dad, did they host a gender reveal party? And what do you remember about that?
Yeah, we had a gender reveal party. We had didn't we have a cake and the cake had the color of his gender inside? Was that what we did?
Yes, yep.
Yeah, we had that really cute cake. And then I think we were also deciding his name at that gender reveal party too, weren't we? We were all kind of pitching in name ideas.
Yep, once we saw the little blue in the center of that cake, everybody was cheering and we were excited. We have family in Alaska that were on a Zoom call with us, so they were watching us, and then our local family here in Cashin, and we all sat around clapping. Half the people were team girl, half the people were team boy. And as soon as we saw the blue, they're like, "Team boy." So we really started on names that day, and it was a team effort within the family that we were able to come up with his name.
I love that. The celebration was, it sounds like it was really fun and spectacular. And was there a sense of grief in that moment, or was it just pure celebration? And how did you tell the rest of your family that Carter did have a diagnosis?
So that day, on the way home from the doctor's office, one by one, we started calling all of our family members, aunts, uncles, and Robert's mom, and just going through every single time. I had him on speaker, my husband and I were there. And first thing we said, well, we just came from the doctor's office, and this was the result we came up with, or we were told that he would have Down syndrome. And I remember being a couple times there was a bit of silence, but then it was like you had to take a second to process, and they're like, "That's amazing." I remember Robert's mom was just so excited. She goes, "Oh, he's going to be beautiful. I can't wait. I'm so excited. You see other kids with Down syndrome, you just want to go hug them." So there was that sense of excitement. I did have that fear of like, "Oh no, is he going to be accepted?" But the whole family really has accepted Carter on both of our sides, and he really brought our families together. So at the gender reveal, everybody knew he would have Down syndrome. And so I think there was a bit more excitement as we found out he was going to be a boy, because we told him he would have Down syndrome prior to, and then we were just waiting, okay, is he going to be a boy or a girl?
I love
And
that.
nobody in the family knew. The only person that knew, I had a friend that I worked with, and she did cakes. So she was the, I gave her the envelope. So nobody in our family knew, only her. And that's why she did the cake. And so there's a huge sense of excitement when we knew we would have a boy with Down syndrome.
So you and Robert didn't even find out at the doctor
No,
appointment whether your
nope.
baby with
And
Down syndrome was going to be a boy or a girl. Oh my
it
gosh.
was so tempting. I was like, "I just want to open this envelope." And he's like, "Don't touch it."
I love that. Obviously, the reason you and I know each other is because of him being in the ICU. So walk us a little bit through the birth process. Obviously, we know he has Down syndrome. We know that there's a hole in the heart. You mentioned the double bubble. So we know he's going to be in the NICU. Tell us about that birth process and what that was like.
So I had developed hyperemesis. I had a lot of fluid. I was very sick. I had a lot of fluid in my belly. So I measured maybe about 5 weeks bigger than what I was because there was just so much fluid. And I had gone into labor, false labor several times within that. He was due to be born end of September, and he was born mid-August. So he was about 6 weeks early. And this was probably about our fourth time going to the hospital, thinking we were going to be giving birth that day. And it actually did happen. And I was in labor for about 25 hours. And so from that day forward, there's a saying, it's Carter's way, it's Carter's time. And it started with that day of he's going to come on his time, and he's making us wait 25 hours, this rotten kid. Just get out. And my husband and my mother-in-law were in the room with me, and after he was born, It was the sense of relief, but I just immediately started crying because I knew he was going to be taken away. So he couldn't digest anything inside my womb. He was protected. He got all the nutrients he needed. But once he was out, because we knew he would not be able to digest anything, he had to be fed intravenously. So they had to do a central line right away. I did get to hold him for a little bit. My husband got to hold him for a little bit before they took him off to the NICU. And once they got him cleaned up and brought him there, and that first night, I just remember being so jealous of other moms because they had their babies in the room with them, and Carter couldn't be with me. And I just kind of felt a little envious, like, man, they get to hold their babies tonight, their first day with them. And that was, I think, the hardest part. But every day we went to go visit the NICU. Sorry. Just thinking back, it gets me emotional every time. And thinking back, we would go visit the NICU, and I remember our very first nurse for that day, Angie. As soon as we got there, she came and she goes, "Here, we're gonna do skin to skin." And I'm like, "Yes, please, yes." So I was able to hold him, and she was just so supportive and so gentle, and just really helped us feel comfortable our first night there at the NICU. And my husband and I was there at the hospital a couple of days before I got released. And Carter, we say that his favorite number or his lucky number is 18. So he was born August 18, 2018, and he was in the NICU for 18 days. So that's his lucky number is 18. We always, any number we put down, we're like 18, 18. That's our number. So I guess with my husband and I being used to being in the military, we would get up every morning at 3:30. We would make sure we were at the NICU first thing as soon as they opened up that morning. And I mean, I think we would try to be there about 5:30, 6 every day, every as soon as we were able to. And we would stay until, we had kids at home. There was such a huge age gap between our kids. I think 13, 12, 13 years between having a baby and our four other kids, that we had to like balance out coming home and feeding, having dinner with our kids at night. And then going back to spending all day at the NICU, so that way we can still kind of be in both worlds. And so that transition was a little hard, but having the nurses, that just cared, each nurse that we were with every day and night, we knew that they just loved and took care of Carter. And you kind of became friends with the nurses that are with your baby all the time. And some little one nurse, oh, I can't remember her name, she was older, but she found out Carter's calming on the bottom of his toes, and I still do it to this day. She goes, "He really loves to be rubbed on the bottom of his toes. Here you go." And so I still do that at night. I'll rub the bottom of his toes, and things like that that stick with you. So that was our experience with his birth. And then when we got to, at that time, he was born in 2018. So we were able to introduce all four of our kids to him. I believe maybe it was the day before his surgery. He had surgery at 3 days old. So they came in and got to hold him. And that was kind of a surreal moment to see our big kids holding the little baby. And I remember Trevor being so scared. He goes, "I might hurt him. I don't, he was just terrified to hold him. He was so little." We just still kind of laugh about it. It took him a while to hold him because he was just, even going on into a month or so, he was just scared to hold him. And Cassie and Becca would fight over, "You got to hold him last time. It's my turn."
I love that. Well, Cassie, I was actually going to ask you too. What do you remember about that NICU experience and meeting him for the first time?
Well, prior to Carter being born, I think I have only gone into a hospital to hold another baby one time. I've held babies outside of hospitals, but not in a hospital. It was only one other time, and I was really, really young, and she didn't have any complications. So it was a really big jump for me because I had never seen a baby in a NICU, and I didn't know what it looked like. I honestly didn't even know what a NICU was until they told me Carter was in it. And so prior to walking up, he had, all the wires and everything attached to him and the little breathing tubes and everything. And it was really overwhelming at first, especially since we heard like, he's okay, like he's gonna be okay. And then seeing that, it's like really, it was a jump scare kind of, but she kind of explained like it's all to help him and it'll be okay. And then we got to hold him, and I was a lot better feeling about it once like we got to hold him.
It kind of makes that connection in your brain that, okay, we have a baby. It's definitely, it's not about a diagnosis. It's not about him being sick, but we have a baby. So I love that. I absolutely love that. Okay, so fast forward to that surgery. I'm assuming that was that the intestine surgery, or did y'all have to have a heart surgery as well? Tell us a little bit about the surgeries that he had to endure.
So when he was 3 days old, so he had what was called duodenal atresia, the double bubble, and they went in to connect his intestines so he can start eating through his mouth, drinking a bottle. That surgery, it was so scary as a mom, to see that, our 3-day-old newborn is about to have this surgery that, they're cutting into him to his intestines. But we had the most amazing surgeon, and she was a firecracker. Absolutely just loved her. Still love her. Her son has Down syndrome, and she did the surgery and came out, and she goes, "Everything went well. We're good to go. Now let's just work on getting him recovered and get you home." And during his recovery, she had brought her son to come visit us, and he has Down syndrome. And that was my first, maybe real close interaction with an individual with Down syndrome. And oh my goodness, he was ornery. He was a teenager. She was scolding him, "I told you to behave." And he just kind of smiled and laughed mischievously. And my husband and I were just so in awe. And I was like, man, he is just amazing. He was fighting with his little brother. They were picking on each other. And one thing that stuck with me there that she said, she goes, "I tell you, they're not dumb. They may be a little bit behind, but they are not dumb." And she's still to this day, I remember we've visited her she's had to do several surgeries on Carter from then on. But I just you come to love the people that you work with, that it's their life passion to take care of people like this, children. And when you have a doctor who has a child like you, it really just helped us solidify that we were excited to be Carter's parents.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Well, so what about the hole in the heart? Did y'all end up having to do anything with cardiology, or was that something
Yes.
that came across on its own or healed on its
Yep.
own?
So in the beginning, he did have a very small hole in his heart. And at that time, it was small enough to where they didn't need to do immediate surgery, and they needed to just monitor. And we were preparing ourselves because we, after doing a lot of research, we kind of thought maybe heart surgery would come along. And as he got a little older and continued to grow, and he was the chunkiest, chubbiest chubbalub baby. So as he continued to grow, that hole eventually closed on its own, and he was having another surgery. So children with and babies with Down syndrome, they have a very small nasal passage. So Carter had sleep apnea, where at night it was hard for him to breathe, and I was up all night adjusting him, making sure he was breathing. And so they did some surgery on his vocal cords, took some vocal cord tissue, some nasal tissue, his adenoids and tonsils, and as well as put tubes in his ears. So during every time he would have a surgery or procedure, they would come in and do a heart echo. And we did the heart echo every 6 months. When he was two, his last heart echo that showed, not his last one, he would still go every year just to keep up with it, but that last heart echo that showed that the hole had closed on its own. By the time I made it home from his surgery that day, I had gotten a call. I was just pulling into the to our garage, and his cardiologist, sweetest, oh, I still love her to this day. She said, "I couldn't wait to call you because," and I was waiting for the echo results, and I had to call and tell you the good news right away, but the hole in his heart has closed. And she started to cry on the phone because I was crying. I was like, "Thank you, Lord." No heart surgery, the hole closed, because we prayed so hard for that. That was one of our concerns. And I remember calling up all our family members. Any little thing that Carter did or had going on, we just celebrated because those little things to us were big things. And that heart closing on its own was a blessing, and we were so happy.
So, how long were you guys in the NICU then, post-op and recovery, and then being able to be discharged?
18 days. So we were in NICU for 18 days. And on that 18th day, when we were discharged, we had a prayer page on Facebook where we got updates. And within that time, it seemed like it was such a long time. 18 days doesn't seem like that long, but when you're in the moment each day, it's like, man, the days are just so long. When he had surgery, his healing was so quick. I mean, he did so well. And, kids are so resilient. And he's got a big scar on his stomach right now, but you couldn't even tell that he had any issues after his surgery and recovery. He's a wild 5-year-old right now. We call him feral. He's just going through that stage where he's a runner. He's a little crazy right now, but he's still so sweet.
I'm going to go ahead and mention that you guys have a TikTok page for him. Is that right?
Yep. So a little over a year ago, his OT, he had an amazing OT, and we were talking about how, because he's very particular about the foods he eats, and he would not eat what we eat, and he's still that way. And she had recommended maybe try to have him help with the cooking process, be a big helper to kind of maybe he'll be a little bit more braver and to try the foods, taste them. So we have on TikTok since then, and we found that he loved doing that so much. He loved to help cook, even though he doesn't eat the food sometimes himself. He loves to help with the process. And I started recording him as we cooked. We got him a little chef hat, a little apron. And on TikTok, we have Carter's Kitchen. So he does a lot of crock pot or dessert, the easiest type of meals. And he just loves it. He knows exactly what to do. And if I start cooking, he's still, even if we're not recording, I'm still in the kitchen cooking dinner, and he's in there helping. He's wanting to put the salt in. He's wanting to help cut. Of course, we help him with all of that. But what we found by him helping with the cooking is that not only does it help him with his motor skills and holding utensils, but it has opened up his desire to taste the foods that he is cooking. So that was the biggest thing on trying to have him help cook, and it just continued on. And he knows when you put that video camera onto, and he loves it. He'll sit there and start dancing in front of the video, and he likes to stare at himself.
And I know we love staring at him. So the TikTok is so cute. Okay, so Cassie, I want you to tell us about bringing Carter home from the hospital. What do you remember? And I know we've got 5 years of conversation here that I feel like we could just really pick apart some things. But talk to us a little bit about having a brother. And he does have Down syndrome, but do you just, I guess, relate that piece of your brother to your life as a sibling?
Honestly, when we brought him home, it was kind of just the same way that I imagined having a little brother. that wouldn't have had Down syndrome before, like especially when he was really, really young, when we first brought him home. Like it was just like any other baby having in the house. Plus, like none of us really thought anything differently of him having Down syndrome. We were all just, oh my gosh, I want to hold him. I want to hold him. And then we wanted to play and hold him until he needed a diaper change. Then we passed him back off to the parents. We were like, nose goes. Nobody wanted to change it. But yeah, we all just loved the crap out of him. And it was just exactly the same way that we would have imagined it then if he didn't have Down syndrome.
Thank you for listening in to the first part of our two-part release. Join us for the second release tomorrow, and you will hear Charity and Cassie share more information about their community support, advocacy efforts, and their involvement in the Down Syndrome Association of Central Oklahoma organization. We Saved You a Seat is sponsored by the Oklahoma Family Network. Oklahoma Family Network focuses on supporting families of children and youth with special health care needs and disabilities, as well as families who have children with a mental health or behavioral health diagnosis. Oklahoma Family Network provides families with emotional support, resource navigation, parent-to-parent engagement opportunities, and wants to ensure quality health care for all children and families by building strong and effective family professional partnerships.